Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 29. In this installment, Yogi has a dream that he believes is a message from Margot, and later it sets him on a journey. In the throat of the night, Yogi dreamed. Blue petal shapes swirling interstices, lattice window, net of jewels, star point to star point, a face, Sarasvati of music, learning with a mala, holding a palm leaf scroll, playing the veena. Under drone om, eight petaled, violet core. Through it, her sari, moon white, her face, the meeting point, slim lips, eye slits. Sarasvati? No. Margaret, gold diademed, peacock seated, her voice a chiming bell, becoming words, articulate. Stop dawdling, go, just go. Walk the ice, talk with mountains. Yogi woke, switched on the lamp, wrote and wrote with ardour. Darling, I don't have visions your way, but you entered my dream like a thief. No, I'm not going all Jesus wept on you. But did we hit the same frequency? Being apart, maybe we're closer. You were hummingbird blue behind a stone lattice window. I wanted to get through its cosmic geometry to your Sarasvati lips, but this head's helmet is banal, benosic. How do I escape from a lead mask? People regard me, but I'm feeling wrong. I won't be long. I will be back. Always your Yogi. He folded, then licked the envelope to pass to Barhai. The next morning, Yogi followed Barhai downstairs to the workshop.
Why not sit and oversee? I have a meeting planned for the Kirtan Mandal where you will be our guest.
Yogi, obliging, rose to wave him off.
Gaurav, the artisan, was soaring rosewood lengths. He smiled as Yogi watched him plane, then fit a dovetail joint. Yogi nodded approval for work done with a straight-up, solid heart. Little Chotu turned up with his tray bearing bottle-green glasses of milk chai. Gaurav took a break. He was a poor man with sinuous hands. His look was simple, kind. After chai, he looked about, producing a box for Yogi to balance upon his knees across his chola, holding 33 pieces of hand-carved sandalwood and ebony, elephant howdah, maharaja and rani, with tiny tusks, whitely ebonine, suggesting ivory.
Oot, said Gaurav, meaning camel bone.
There were figures on camel back, warriors on horses, siege leaders, soldiers, an antique Indian army. Gaurav drew out a matching chandan rani, making last naps and nicks with a pocket knife. Blowing dust, he pressed it to Yogi's chest.
Apki rani hai, he said. Your queen.
It was his way of saying, look after your wife.
Chauhan's cream ambassador pulled up. Gaurav slipped away to furniture work.
Greetings, Yogi. Do you know Chaturanga? Chess was born in ancient India.
Chauhan, the history buff, soon told him how Chaturanga meant army, a royal game to strategize with elephants, chariots, horsemen, and foot soldiers.
It's in the Mahabharata. Two sides or four will throw down bones of dice.
Just like Shakuni, Yogi countered,
who cheated Yudhishthira of his kingdom?
Chauhan nodded.
Sorry, Yogi, we have a satsang scheduled, an invitation from a Siddharji friend.
Queen in pocket, Yogi thought of Margo as the solid ambassador engine elephant snorted.
Gobind Electricals had a roll-up door. Amrik Singh smiled and greeted him, with marigold garland and two chubby palms joined in reverence. He spoke Punjabi.
"Ao Santaji,"
then flicked a switch to English.
"You come to my shop so nice."
He whacked a chair of its dust, the scourge of highway towns with dirty cloth, once a sleepy pajama. His whip-the-snake technique also collected a bric-a-brac tray of defunct nuts and plugs, cannibalized parts. The folderol catch-all crashed in a screw-loose scrabble field.
"Sorry, Santaji, I'm very, very much clumsy."
Amrik, a name aspiring to America, went hands and knees to clean up chaos quick. The Sikh man with a beard so neatly pressed into a hairnet glued with fixer puffed hard, clearing the path for hospitality. His young boy came from a nearby deep-fry witch's cauldron bearing greasy samosas, and served them with more chai. So frequently offered, Yogi thought he should mainline it to save on washing up. At last the Sardar relaxed behind the counter and mopped his brow with sweaty relief. Yogi had been brought for a 15-minute in-store quickie blessing. Decorum needed small talk or distraction. Yogi noticed a wall frame, gold and tasseled. Its turbaned figure had black flowing beard, wore sword, a bow, a quiver of deer leather while meditating on a tiger skin. Wearing a pelt, he looked more warrior than a skinny sadhu.
"So, who is he?"
Yogi asked.
"Guru Gobind Singh, our tenth master," said Amrik. "In his past birth, he sat at a lake circled by seven mountains."
"Also, where the Pandavas meditated," added Chauhan.
"Is it real?" asked Yogi.
"We call it Hem Kund Sahib near Badrinath."
An inner urge told Yogi, "Go, just go."
Almost on cue, a monsoon shower fell like a superpower upon an errant outpost, adding effect to Amrik's passionate telling of the Dasam Guru's exploits, the one who gave turban and beard to the Sikhs for coming times, a hawk against an empire. Aurangzeb, its Mughal incarnadine, an anti-Hindu, swearer of false oaths upon the Quran, forcer of Islam upon two baby sons. Gobind's young refused and were bricked alive, praising formlessness to their last breath. Yogi was moved.
"Please come for Hemkund Yatra," Amrik said. "Bless us with your presence."
"When do you leave?"
"Tomorrow, Santaji."
"It feels the thing to do," Yogi agreed. Chauhan was flummoxed.
"But what about the satsangs, the Kirtan Mandal? It's only 2 weeks off."
"Plenty of time," said Amrik. "I will have him back. We must show Santaji some of India."
"We will discuss with Barhai," Chauhan said, "and send a message."
"Thanks, but I've decided," said Yogi blithely. "I'll let Barhai know."
Chauhan was stymied. He couldn't say much now, checkmated by a local businessman.
"Changa, I will book and pick you up quite early,"
Amrik manoeuvred quickly. He was no prince of Bumbledom after all.
"I had no choice. Yogi wants to go. He said straight out,"
Chauhan was reporting in the workshop.
Barhai thought on it and cleared his throat. "Well, next time cut back on the daily satsangs. Screen the parties first. We cannot
push the Ganga, she will flood or flow the way a river wants. Now is the time to exercise restraint, not of Yogi, but our urgency. Amrik Singh, we'll have him back on time, especially if we fate him at the Marhar Kirtan Mandal.
Excellent. It will be even better.
But Barhai knew he had no other choice.
His cholas came back warm and clean from the sun, extra smooth from the pressing Jyoti had done. His beard hid a chin too weak, and the mirror was fooled. Outside the window he saw the old world construction, bamboo scaffolding, floors aspiring one by one. They winched cement by the dish via pulley and rope. Little ants, heavy lives, who benefits in the long run? The skies are awkwardly close to lightning and rain. The winds are trying to shake down a big yellow crane. The thunder announced a test to the rotten cement. The summer is smashed by the storm cloud's ball and chain. Now clouds speak. First susurrus, electrical buzz, pregnant water molecules, thunder, theatre. 9 months, sky drank ocean. Now Indra sends thunderbolts, gold chain lightning. Elephant herds of clouds rutting and charging, uprooting earth. Cars skid, stall, drivers dive out. Hard clatter on flat roofs, drain pipes engorge and cough. Below, plastic bottles float off to the underworld. Town hands cup, gulp their share of downpour. High-pitched plink, plink on people leaves, murmuring patter and the jarman branches sigh. Today the monsoon has come to change the beat. Children dancing in the street, soaking saris, women's hair undone, red marriage partings washed away. Yogi was glad for a side way door to leave. The satsang circuit had become a weight. Forced to wear his heart on a holy sleeve, he had to role-play as every person's soulmate. Barhai had said, "Ah, Uttarakhand, we'll wait. You go and see the Himalayan snow. Amrik will bring you back by the due date. It'll be a rare experience. Go, just go." Marco's signal. Was she trying to break through? Oneric words were pushing his heart rate. To hear so clear a message was deja vu. So he'd slept little when Amrik came at 8. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Spooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode.